I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Angina is here, but first, do you want to see me gored off? Because I think you want to see me gored off.
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful.
Oh, are you intellectual like me?
Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times?
Like me?
Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who loves the style and versatility of Nine West career footwear and accessories. Nine West, lead the way and never stop dreaming. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. Okay, it's Cyber Monday. We just got past Black Friday. Where are the deals? I feel like once upon a time, Black Friday was like the coolest thing. People would go camp out. They would bring their lawn chairs. They would wait outside of Target for the brand new Gollum doll or whatever the hell people wanted. Everybody was going to get a deal on a television. People were going to get, I don't know, whatever those blockbuster, doorbuster specials. You know, Walmart would put saran wrap or whatever around certain things. And they would say, this is not available until Black Friday. And it would be like, I don't know, slippers. Or something for $2 cheaper. I just feel like I don't see these deals. Like, here's the thing. Cyber Monday is obviously, like, I get into Cyber Monday just because I do a lot of online shopping. So I feel like I get a better deal on a Cyber Monday. I'm not buying a TV. I want, like, I don't know, 40% off on a dress. That's what I want. I want cell phone cases. Like, I want shit like that. I was never the person who lined up for stuff. But I have to think about the fact that, like, I don't have kids. So maybe if it was like toys or something that I needed to get for them and that was the only time I could get it. But listen, everybody has been doing these Black Friday sales forever and they call them pre-Black Friday sales. You know what they need to put on sale? Fucking groceries. Put groceries on a Black Friday sale. Everything is so expensive. You know what really needs to go on a Black Friday sale? A combo at McDonald's. A combo at Wendy's. Why are we paying $15, almost $20 for a combo at these places? Like, I know why. Obviously, these companies don't want to pay their employees the right rate. And so they have to like start charging everybody more for food because they're not going to hit in their profits. So they're going to make us pay more. And they know that we're going to pay for it anyway. And they know that they're going to work these poor people into the ground. And these people are working so, so hard and they're not being compensated fairly. That's why they, you know, start encouraging like this tipping culture and everything is more expensive because they think, well, shit, make these consumers pay for it. So we don't have to pay for these living wages for these people. So it's now our job to pay for it, even though what? I mean, is the stuff that expensive now? I don't know that everything has gone up that much in price. Like not that quickly gone up that much in price. Why are we allowing this? I don't understand like why Black Friday is not happening at Wiener Schnitzel. I want a deal. I don't want to have to pay like Black Friday is supposed to be for an actual deal. Like, I don't want $5 off. I want something to be $4,000 and then it's on sale for $1,500. That's the Black Friday sale I want. I want to go in somewhere and have them say, like, whatever happened to buy one, get one free? Like, how about some of that? How about, what would be a good Black Friday deal that I need? How about a bottle of perfume with a gift with purchase. Remember we talked about that a long time ago? I'm still on it. I still want that Black Friday deal of like a gift, an incentive, not just something stupid, something that people are going to use, actual value where somebody says, you know what? It was worth waiting in line. That I've been a customer of the store for a long, long time. And they did me right. See, that doesn't happen anymore. There's no more like brand loyalty or store loyalty where people are saying, you know what? It's been a hard year. As a company, we're going to do X, Y, and Z for the people that come here on Black Friday. This is what we're going to do. Because we know how much you have invested in our company to make us great. We are going to say, this is an extra wonderful special. Don't sell $15 slippers that cost you 22 cents to make and then tell somebody, guess what? Instead of $15, those are going to be $13.99. And that's what we should be waiting in line for? That is not a deal. How about the fast food restaurants say, bring in a receipt that you bought something for fucking Black Friday and we will give you $5 off your $15 combo. That sounds like a Black Friday special to me. Give me a, I want a Black Friday lunch. I want a Black Friday iced tea with an iced teaspoon in it. How about that? How about for Black Friday, you say, come into our restaurant, and for Black Friday, we're going to give you an iced teaspoon to stir your drink with, like a proper country, like a classy place. Where's that? Where's that Black Friday special? I want to see I don't want to see just something that sounds like a doorbuster deal. I want to walk away feeling like, you know what? I'm glad my money went to that company. I'm glad I was treated correctly. I'm glad I was greeted at the door. I get it. You know, this is another little a thing that's been cooking in my brain for a while. You know, I get up here and I talk extemporaneously about shit. I wish people would be a little more grateful for the shit that I don't say. I wish people would be happy for the things that I hold in. And there's something I've been holding in for a while. And it's something I think about and it's probably not going to go over well. And guess what? Fuck off. Oh, well, you don't like it. What's going to happen tomorrow? My rent's going to be the same price. My house payment's going to be the same price. My bills are going to be the same price. This is my problem. I know employees are not being treated well by stores. I get it. I get that Black Friday's horrific. I worked in retail. It was a different time. It was a different place. There was when there was brand loyalty. However, I worked very, very hard during holiday seasons and back to school and white linen sale, all of it. You know, I did it all. I'm sure when I first started, I made minimum wage at the job. You know what I mean? And then I got raises and raises and raises here and there. Maybe people are not getting raises now. Maybe they're not hitting that quality of living. But why is it my job as the customer to have to allow employees to treat me shitty because they hate their job? I'm confused as to why. I don't work for the company. I'm just coming in here buying something and people are like, oh God, like looking like I'm like so horrific for coming into the store. And I, you know what I do? I hold the space for people to have bad days. I hold the space for people to not be paid fairly, but it's not my fucking job to go everywhere and go, you know what? I should just hold my head down in shame for shopping in here. I'm sorry you have a job. I'm sorry I expected you to like, you know, greet me. I'm sorry that I expect, like I'll go to, I was at a store the other day and I saw the person say, why don't you open up on number 3? So the lady opened up on number 3, but she didn't turn the light on. And this is what I thought to myself as a former employee of a store and also as a consumer. Maybe they're just lessening the blow of this line. So she's going to call over people that she thinks are the people that need to come over next. Maybe it's not fully open because I don't see a light on. So I waited there and somebody nudged me from behind and they were like, she's open over there. Are you going to go? And I said, oh, I'm waiting for her to call me over. Because then when she was done with her transaction, she had to like put things away and whatever. Maybe she wasn't ready for the next customer. She closes the thing and stands there and looks around. She looks at me. She goes, are you going to come over here or are you just going to stand there? And I immediately go, are you going to turn your light on to let people know that you are taking customers or are you just going to stand there? Because here's the thing. I'm sorry you have a shitty job. But guess what? I have a shitty job too. But I'm not going to treat you like shit. Take it up with your employers. But guess what? Right here and right now, you're serving me. So I need you, toot sweet, to get it together. Or else I'm going to have to teach you what your managers didn't teach you. And that is that you're being a shitty asshole. I'm sorry. Don't turn that iPad around asking for a fucking tip if you're going to be so goddamn unfriendly to me. And if you don't like it, oh well. Because it's not my job and it's not my place to go everywhere and hold so much space for everyone that treats customers like shit. I know the world is shitty, but I'm not being shitty to you. Okay? I'm sorry you don't like it. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Go back to school. Get a different job. Start a business. Suck a dick, like T.S. Madison said. Do something, but stop being shitty to everybody and assuming that everyone's going to be shitty to you. I'm not. I get it all out right here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where y'all get it out. Get it out somewhere, but I don't get it out in person with people because I don't think people deserve all that. I don't think they need for me to go crazy on them. But when they get smart with me, you watch your mouth when you're talking to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like that. I don't like going places and being told $2 off is going to be your Black Friday deal. $2 off is not a Black Friday deal. Give me a real deal. See that? I want to see some of this. Where are the deals? Book the deals. Give me the specials. Black Friday. Cyber Monday, Whole Food Wednesdays, something. Do you want to see me take a break? Well, guess what? I'm going to take a break.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. Our guest today recently celebrated her husband's birthday with a 21-layer barbecue ranch chicken nacho plate. Please make welcome Angina.
I love that. That's...
Well, we're excited about it. I mean, first of all, nachos.
Nachos, yes.
But this is 21. What goes into 21 layers?
So basically, my husband and I have been finding meals on Instagram and TikTok to recreate at our house. And so he found this like 21-layer nachos, which is basically like nachos, cheese, chicken, ranch dressing, barbecue sauce, onions, jalapenos, chips again, barbecue, like barbecue sauce again, ranch again, chicken again.
Wow.
Until you hit like a 21, the 21st layer. Yeah. And the very last layer is just like two layers of like two different cheeses. And he was like, and for his birthday, you know, we just stayed home because it's Halloween and we dress up for a living. So why would I go out?
Right.
And I was like, oh, I have a surprise for you. So I made him that 21 layer chicken barbecue ranch nachos. And it was actually delicious.
Yeah, so basically every chip gets is covered with something.
With something, yeah. So you do a chip and then you layer and then you do a chip and then you layer a chip, you layer, and then you have cholesterol.
Do you normally eat nachos like at restaurants and stuff like that?
Or my husband loves nachos.
That's his thing.
Yeah, that's his thing. Nachos, steak, ground beef is a lot of the staple that we use for like protein when I cook at home. But yeah, me, I can eat anything. He's a little bit more picky when it comes to what he can digest or want to digest. But nachos is definitely top three always.
Top three. Have you made air fryer boiled eggs yet?
No, not yet. But
my mom has been doing it and she's obsessed with it and they come out perfectly. My mom has always made boiled eggs perfectly. They're never gray, ever. She's always been able to time it. The same way with rice. She always does that knuckle method.
You know,
you were like a connoisseur. Well, you've always said like you could just eat like just white rice as a meal.
As a meal, I could. Yeah. I actually eat rice or used to 3 times a day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner. But now I sort of like change it up because I'm pre-diabetic. And I think the reason why is because I consume so much rice, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do all of us ethnic people like so predisposed to everything? There's rice, there's beans, there's noodles, there's something like for all of us.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's a staple in Filipino food. It's kind of like the side dish that ties in all the flavor and like minimizes all of like the flavor that's in each entree, but eventually it catches up to you.
And the pre-diabetes says hi.
Hi is like crawling up saying hello. Seriously.
Where does hi come from?
You know, so I moved to Los Angeles in 2007, but even before that in New York City, like we would say hi to each other in such a long, high-pitched manner. And then when I moved here, I actually heard other people say it, including Alaska. And I think it was just like a form of like excited greeting, exaggerated, that just happened. Not over time, but like it just happened. And then it became like a thing. So I would be like, hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, and I don't know. I don't actually like do it now. But like growing up into the scene, I'm always like, hi.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones too. But, you know, things that we can't repeat.
But there are variations of it because I find myself a lot of times when someone will like send a meme or something that's like super accurate, I'll type back like, bye.
Bye.
Right? And there's ways that you say it because you can be like, you can laugh bye or you could be like, bye. Like I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
There's just variations.
No, there are variations because we do this too when we're like together and we talk about like shady shit and we're just like, bye.
Completely. Completely.
Oh my God.
I don't know why we drag that out. I mean, I guess like you said.
Because we're gays?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I saw this meme where the guy was saying that he was walking by a poster and it said, it's giving season. Like it's giving. Have you seen this?
Yeah, no, I haven't. But
he read it and it was talking about Thanksgiving. He's like, but I'm so gay. I read it as it's giving season.
Oh, like it's giving season. Yes.
And he's like, and then I had to think and I was like, no, girl.
No, it's thanks.
The season of giving. He goes Thanksgiving. Like, he just looks at the camera. He's like, I'm so gay.
Yeah. Probably where bye, like bye and hi comes from.
Uh-huh.
I think it's like, we're so expressive, we just extend like the smallest thing and make it like grandiose. Is that the word, grandiose?
I think I like that word.
Is that an actual word?
Well, you could say grandiose, but I like grandiose.
Grandiose.
Grandiose is better. What was I talking about earlier? Oh, you know, Jane Mansfield,
yeah,
the actress.
Not the drag queen.
Not, that's James Mansfield.
Oh, that's right.
Who used the word divoon.
Divoon.
Divoon, that's divoon.
Is it supposed to be like divine?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an authority. James probably would know this.
Ah.
So okay. I should ask James. She probably would know that.
Should we call her?
We could.
No.
We should phone a friend.
We should phone a friend.
Do you like talking on the phone or texting?
There are certain situations where I'd rather speak on the phone
uh-huh.
than texting.
Right.
And sometimes texts can get translated in different ways.
Yep.
And so if it's like a serious personal conversation, I think that needs to be like
yeah.
one-on-one, eye-to-eye, or on the phone. Mm-hmm. If it's professional and business, like I actually like somebody was asking to book me
uh-huh.
and they were like asking me, you know, what's your availability? And I was like, these are the dates that I'm traveling. And they're like, well, what's your rate? And I was like, well, I don't feel comfortable speaking about that because that's exactly why I have an agency
right.
and a management so that they can negotiate the terms based off of your asks.
Right.
But there's a general rate, but I don't like talking about money
mm-hmm.
when I don't have to because it's just easier for somebody to transact it for me.
Right.
And then I just show up all pretty. I'm ready.
No,
go.
I agree with that 100%.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like when somebody asks what's the rate, it's kind of like, well, what's the ask? Because
mm-hmm.
you might say, well, we only want you to come in and do one number, and then we want you to host for 3 hours and announce this, this, and this. And it's like, well, that's a little bit different than
yeah.
two numbers and then hit it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be anything. Maybe they want, because I know you've done charity events, and I think people don't also realize that there's an, even though there's a charity event and you are lending your name and your time,
mm-hmm.
there is an honorarium that
yes.
needs to be involved
yes.
because there are fees that go into
mm-hmm.
making that presence happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it may not be exactly the rate, but
yeah.
it differs the costs.
But I also think that the honorarium, pays for my work.
Yeah, yes.
And even if it's less than what a club gig might offer or more
right.
than what a club gig might offer, like Angina in itself is work.
Right.
And I love giving my time. I have put in my time. I have given my time. But when I know that the ass have like, when I know that the ask is a little bit more extensive
right.
and or there's sponsorship or there's ways to compensate for me being there, I think it's fair to say that I'm there because I'm working.
Absolutely.
So then please compensate me for that work.
Absolutely. Especially just as you said that a lot of people don't hear is sponsors involved. These fees are already built in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's there.
And you can negotiate within that budget. So, but I don't like doing that.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, like my agency would be like, there is this organization. They want you to just show up for like 30 minutes and leave. It's down the street from you. It's nonprofit. Like, would you, would you give them your time? And I was like, yes, I'll give them my time. You know, it's just a conversation, but it's a conversation best left for my managers. Just
mm-hmm.
just tell me when, what time I'm getting picked up, and I will show up the way that you want me to, and I will deliver the ask. But I don't like to talk about all that stuff. That's
right.
That's why we have agencies.
See, I need to get on your level because I have, it's so hard when you have to negotiate that shit yourself.
Yeah.
I think what happens is people take you less serious.
Yeah,
they
less
do.
Serious. They take advantage of the fact that maybe, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, but maybe they'll take advantage of the fact of ABCD. And
yep.
and then I'm nice. So I'm be like, oh yeah, maybe. But at the same time, like, drag is now a huge business. And, you know,
right.
when talking about businesses, you have to be smart about the decisions we're making and the conversations we're having. And I will do some deals on my own,
mm-hmm.
but because I've learned all throughout the years how to manage some stuff.
Right.
But when I know that it's a larger conversation,
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, ooh, like, you do it.
Well, but I think that's something that I've always admired about you, and maybe other people don't know that it is something that's extra admirable about you that a lot of people don't have. And that's the ability to not be afraid. You're yeah. not afraid to have these conversations with businesses. I've watched you over and over and over. And it's something that I don't always have in myself that I see in you. That's interesting because we always think of people in their physicality as... We've been trained to believe that physicality says certain things. So if you're a large person, you must be robust and loud about yeah. it. And if you're a small person, you must be demure about things.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, like, the two of us next to one another, you are a far better business person because you're not afraid.
No.
And I don't know if that's just the way you were raised or things that you saw or just who you are, but... You'll get a deal going out of anything.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is I'm able to have these business conversations because I think, one, I grew up as an adult in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I moved there when I was 19 and I had to figure out life fast.
Right.
And I had to make decisions to survive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a visual manager, and then I moved up the corporate ladder where I became a multi-store senior regional manager overseeing right. like multiple people, multiple stores, multiple areas. So I think that it comes from both of those. And then so when I moved to LA, one of the reasons why I moved here is because I wanted like a less wild life
mm-hmm.
because my life in New York was so wild that I needed like a time to breathe. And then I think I brought what I learned from living in New York City to here and sort of just like maybe translated it to like how LA people sort of like navigate mm-hmm. the world, because a little less aggressive than New York, I feel
right.
like. But you still have to be smart. You have to still be like, you still have to like make sure that they're taking you seriously.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, drag can be like fun, ha ha ha, but it's not a joke.
Right.
It's a huge job. So I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of joke, what the fuck? We went right into like serious business, but this pumpkin on your head.
I mean, I knew you were coming and, you know, this is the last episode of the sort of fall season.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Okay.
And you know how much I love pumpkins, which,
you,
by the way,
you do.
Do you have a favorite gourd on the table?
I do. I actually really love that big blue one.
This one?
That's massive and gorgeous. It's amazing.
This was originally gray, and then Davey was like, it needs to be blue.
Yeah, no, I love it. And the way that it's so bright on the monitor is like gorgeous.
Yeah, it really
but,
is cool.
So,
but why not put one on your head? I wanted the whole set on my head. You were going to be here. You're known for fascinators.
Yes, yes. So, actually,
which this is not that fascinating. This it could,
no,
be, it
but,
could be more grand.
No. But it's good because it definitely falls into the spirit of going into the end of
yeah.
like fall season into the right. holidays.
Yeah,
because we're about to do holidays, and I know you love the holidays.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but lately, I have been, like, just doing bald or wearing wigs.
You wear a lot of wigs, and you
yeah.
have good wigs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have good polyester blends, but they work for me.
Oh,
and I'm happy.
100%. Because you wear them in amazing styles, too. So I feel like styling up a wig, it's crazy to want to do it in human hair. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Human is for, like, flowing and, yeah. like, all of that, but... You do like, I've seen you with like victory rolls. You've worked with drag wigs on a dime.
Yes. And I recently have been working a lot with Jo Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Love her.
Jo's amazing.
And she makes me most of the wigs I've been wearing currently, uh-huh. but I just sort of stopped wearing fascinators because one, I got lazy from making them. I know that mm-hmm. sounds really bad, but like sometimes you just get in the habit and then you stop the habit, right?
Right.
And then, two, I've been really loving looking at myself bald.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I love such, like, big costumes is because it makes up for the fact that, like, maybe I don't have anything going here.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you're getting, like, a really amazing outfit from it.
You keep looking at yourself.
I know, because I look fucking amazing.
You do. Let's take a break. I live.
That's funny.
to sit up with your mouth.
Sit up your dirt wet.
Shut your mouth. We are back with angina. We are cackling about ridiculousness. The pumpkin is ridiculous.
Yes. How are you actually putting that on your head? Like, how is that on?
I've watched you for years, and I watched Eddie DeBar for years.
Oh, yeah.
Different techniques, right?
Yeah.
This is just a top stick. This is a clean your scalp with some rubbing alcohol. But, you know, I don't know if you do this. My trick with alcohol wipes is to pour some more alcohol in them and shake it up because sometimes they're too dry.
Yeah. Especially when you're trying to, like, get rid of something. Right. It might need a little bit more moisture.
Right. So even though, like, obviously before I came, I showered, I put makeup on. I didn't have makeup on my head. I didn't intend to do this originally. I had a wig. And then I was like, no, we need to do this.
I really appreciate that you did.
We were chit-chatting. We were like, how fun is this? If you're going to do it, to do it when the queen of fascinators is here. And this is not the most fascinating, but it is lightest one.
It's fab. And light is important, especially because the way that I put them on my head, like, basically, I will make up my entire head.
Yeah.
And wherever I put the headpiece, I will make up that part a little bit thicker.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually use super glue.
Yes, you do.
To adhere it. And that is what I learned from Miss Nina Flowers.
Uh-huh.
And she showed me that in season one back in 2009. And she is the reason why part of my hair line is gone. Because when you rip the super glue out, yeah, Nina, it's default. When you rip it out, like, you can see all the hair follicles.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So anyway, it's not even really a big deal because I do really love me being bald anyway. So it's not like I'm going to grow out my hair anytime soon.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to, I could just source out some wigs from you, you know?
There's wigs everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
The wig game is so different now than it once upon a time, right? I mean, even just the last 10 years.
Oh, my God. The last 5 years. Like, you know, 15 years ago, I really wore them. But yeah, I wore some, but it was like crusty head fronts.
Uh-huh.
What are they called?
Hard front wig.
Yeah. Like a hard front. And then now, if it's not lace or human, it doesn't count? That's what the kids are saying, but I don't believe.
When we were on season 3, I've said this before, like, Manila was the first person we saw with a lace front. And we were like, looking at it like, where does it come from? How could you... Is that real? And we watched her put it on. And of course, at that time, it was like we had never seen anything. So it was amazing to us. And I'm sure it was probably fully crunchy. And like she probably had not cleaned the lace. No shit. I'm not talking shit. She cleans it now. I don't know. People always talk about us from season one of All Stars when we were van drivers.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Right.
I had such a good time doing that. And first of all, I was happy to do it with you. And second, I'm so glad we didn't have to do it in drag.
Right.
Can you imagine driving a van in, like, drag?
No.
But what was your experience like driving that van?
I was talking about how, like, people look at certain statures and they're like, oh, this person is robust because they're big and this person's diminutive because they're smaller. People assumed, like, oh, this big old bitch is going to jump in this van and take off. You know, I got stuck. I was in the van and fully got stuck in a one-way street.
Yeah.
Angina was blowing through.
Yeah.
Driving everywhere, not a problem, was waving at me like, hi, bitch.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
And then, bye.
Did you know that All Stars 1, I was actually supposed to be on?
Oh, I believe it. 1,000% believe that.
So they had invited me. To be on, and they really wanted me to be on it. And at the time, my work, my boy work or whatever, was getting so busy that I was opening stores in Los Angeles and around Southern California, and I was managing so many areas that my director at the time was like, you have to make a choice. If you leave for All Stars, you can't come back.
Right.
Or you could stay here and not go to All Stars. And I was like, and at the time, I became full-time drag queen in 2017 towards 18. And at the time, that was in like 2013, maybe 14. I really liked my salary. I really liked my 401k. I really liked my benefits. Right. I really liked my job. So it was really hard for me to say, I'm going to quit this job and do the other job. But as a consolation prize, they were like, do you want to drive a van? And I was like, sure, I'll drive a van. I think I can take one day off instead of like the 30 days that they needed me to take off. But yeah, I was supposed to be on there. And rumor has it, I don't know the truth to this matter, but I've been told that rumor has it that because I said no, that's why Mimi got the spot.
Okay.
Rumor has it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe somebody at Reddit will investigate.
Well, you know, I feel like regardless of what we say or don't say, there's always people out there that are like, no, I actually know.
Yeah. No.
And
what?
I'm like, and I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right.
No. Okay. So you, I love like your social media and stuff because you just call them bitches out. Like you're just like, no, that's bullshit. Because you could be like, you could be talking about your, like a personal experience. Uh-huh. You'd be like, I'm Delta work and this is what happened to me. And somebody in the comments be like, no, it didn't. Uh-huh. And you're like, what the fuck? It literally just happened to me. And you're like, how do you know it didn't happen to me? And you're just like so, like you're so gracious about it, but you call them out and put them in their place and be like, shut the fuck up. Like,
it's so like, weird.
It's so weird to have to do that.
Yeah. You know what's weird is when people will comment something negative and they'll like at you like in the comments.
Oh, to see, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, you at me. So like I always find it like maybe if I'm in an airport or something where I have like an empty time, I'm like, I now have time to respond to comments. So I'll respond to positive ones, negative ones. But those ones that are negative, you'll go to respond and they're like, that person cannot be mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
this is the game.
You
this
just
is the
come
game
by
you're
and
playing.
Shit and then run away.
Yeah.
Gross.
Honestly, I met this like producer of reality TV recently. And I was talking to him about producing a show where you somehow try and find these people that like death threat you on social media and show up at their house and be like, what's up?
Yeah.
I mean, not like that, but you know what I mean? Like, why do you want to kill me? And it's like, it's sort of like Catfish, you know, Catfish on MTV.
Yes, I love.
But the idea is like these people on social media that just hate you for zero reasons. I just want to show up at their house and be like, have a conversation, have some tea, some coffee and be like, what's up?
Why did you say that?
Yeah, why like, do you hate me? Why do you hate her? Like, why do you hate him? It's like, but that's the world we live in, you know?
And it is always weird when you do say something back. They're like, no, I actually love you.
Yeah.
I love you. I just wanted to get your attention. And I'm like, you wanted to punch me in the arm?
Yeah, you're
to
like,
get my attention?
You want to stick a fucking pen on my neck, but that's just calling me out for attention?
You?
Yeah, like,
why?
That's weird love, you guys. Don't do that. That's weird love.
That is weird love.
Yeah.
So
that's kinky love.
Have you driven a van since then? Since we did van driving?
No, I haven't.
I always think when I'm on the freeway, I'm like, I would like to get one of those, like, Sprinter vans and have it to, like, put clothes, some wigs, and then just have the ability to change in it at the gig. Because, you know, some gigs you go, there's nowhere to get ready.
Yeah. This actually might be a really good idea because sometimes I don't want to take anything out of my car and put it in my house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want it to just stay in there. But obviously, I love rotating. You know my system. Like, I pack for the month.
Right.
I rotate that suitcase, and then I go back, you know, put it in the storage and then come back with new ones every month so that I'm sort of like rotating the looks.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if I can have a Sprinter van and just have a rolling rack,
it would
and
be
then
sticking.
Show up in the gig and be like, okay, three numbers, 1, 2, 3, shoes, you know what I mean? But it would be hard for me to travel with my shoes because I have like a whole room of it.
Well, the thing about you and your shoes, because we know it's like an addiction, and it's an
obsession.
It's an obsession.
It's more of like
a hobby?
Let's be honest. It's an addiction and an obsession.
But you work really hard and you really do love them and you take care of all of them.
I do take care of all of them. And I also am very smart. I only buy them on sale unless it's something that I know I will never be able to get again.
Right.
And it's funny because I will happily buy a $9 shoe at Santee Alley.
Then I know
are you
this
kidding
is true
me?
About you. I know it's true.
Because it's so good. Mm-hmm. If any queens or artists or kings and things and in-betweens ever come to LA to visit, do not miss the opportunity to go to Santee Alley. But Also, don't just wear it based, like, right off the rack. Style it a little. But anyway, shoes. I will happily buy a $9 shoe, and I will happily buy a $2,000 shoe.
Right.
And it is an obsession. It is an addiction. Willem came to my house about a month or so ago. She filmed my drag closet, mm-hmm. and she was asking me how many pairs of shoes I had. And I said, like, I think I have about 200. She's like, absolutely impossible. Because she counted, like, how many shoes were on the shelves, how many shelves there were. And so I think we're going about, like, four or five.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm also smart. I sell them. Mm-hmm. When I'm done with them, because they mm-hmm. some of them do retain value, mm-hmm. and some of them have special, like, you know, some of them are special and some of them are not used, mm-hmm. and I'll go buy new ones.
Well, and the interesting thing about your proclivity for shoes is the fact that you like them in drag and out of drag.
I do, so I have one side of the room, there's 5 shelves of girl mm-hmm. shoes, and then the other side is 4 shelves of boy. Mm-hmm. And when I say boys, like, you know, in between, it's like I like to wear little Johnny heels as a boy as well. I don't even know, like, where in the spectrum I am, and, you know, like, but I just love fashion so much. Right. And I think I worked in fashion for so long that I appreciate it a lot. Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been very casual. I like a black t-shirt, a black pant, a black short, and some sneakers. But whenever I get the opportunity to, like, dress up as Angina or as Ryan, like, I want to be able to have the options and say, oh, you know what? I want to wear these shoes that I haven't worn in 3 years, you know? And it feels new and exciting to me. And why not? Treat yourself.
Well, we're in a beautiful time. I mean, there's a lot of scary shit going on in the world. But we are in a place where we can not stress out so much about having to explain why we can acknowledge duality.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything. Like, or if you want to, you can.
Yeah.
If people are like, I realize this is who I am now, then make your announcement and I want to hold space for it and I want to love you for it. Yeah. But if there's people that are like, I don't even need to be there, or I don't know if I'm there.
Right.
I'm in a place where I want to do it all.
Yeah.
Then do it all.
Yeah. I was having this conversation about how the younger generation are so brave and so mm-hmm. organic when it comes to, like, owning their gender and their sexuality and their-ness. And I feel like sometimes, you know, I get inspired by these people and I, like, will go out and shop. I was like, oh, that maybe I'll wear a skirt. Mm-hmm. As Ryan, maybe. And then I put it on and I feel like such a poser. I feel like I'm too old for this.
No, I feel
But you. Then at the same time, it's like, but I feel fabulous in it. So mm-hmm. I think for me, like, the shoes sort of, like, help whatever is, like, going on in my mind, because I build my outfit from it.
Right.
And it just helps me express, like, how I want to express myself at the time being.
Right.
So I like that there's no boundaries. I like that there's no one's telling me, like, I can or cannot do this. It's really, like, me that have to, like, say, you know what? I look fabulous. I feel fabulous. I'm going to do it this way today. I'm going to do it this way tomorrow. And just live my life free. Because I know I look like I'm 22, but I'm about to be 42 years old and, you know, I'm ready to just be free and stress-free and live my life. And if anybody else has anything to say about that, you know what? Fuck you. It's not your life. It's mine.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that? Let's take a break. We are back with Angina. This is the portion of the podcast called Read Me Delta, where people send in letters.
Oh, okay.
Read Me Delta!
Sometimes they ask. What was the word you said earlier? I can't remember.
Davoon? No, that's you. Grandiose? Grandiose.
There's never really a way to come back. I do that sometimes. Like, I'll pronounce a word, and I know the right way to pronounce it, but my mouth won't do it. And then you'll say it, and you'll try to, like, I try to just, like, run with it. Like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
that's
like
how
nobody
it goes.
Heard.
Yeah,
like, nobody heard.
Nobody
it.
Heard. Right?
It's funny because, you know, now I host a lot now for shows. And I often sometimes, not often and sometimes, that can't be the same thing, right? I often say, like, the wrong things, and then I'll blame it for being Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, like, a few weeks ago, somebody was like, you moved here in 94. That excuse does not work anymore. And I was like, that is true, but it's...
I don't think it's an excuse, and I don't think it's a blame. I think it is a reason and an explanation, because you are bilingual.
Yeah.
You have every right. Anybody to me that is bilingual is far smarter than anyone else, because you're carrying two completely different languages. First of all, the English language itself is so fucking weird because of all... Why are there silent letters? Who is that helping? Why are silent letters helping anyone?
Oh, I wish I can explain the Filipino language, because there's also, like, words. There could be one word that means, like, five things.
I like that.
And it's the way you pronounce it. I can't even, like, think of it.
Can you go,
one.
I know this.
But you know what I mean? Like,
you could go, bakla! Or you could go, bakla.
Bakla.
That's not what you're talking about.
But
I know what you mean. No, that's not what you're talking about.
Or you could be like, in English terms, it'd be like, work. Work?
Right.
Work. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's just the way that you pronounce it. Okay. So letters from the fans.
So if you want to send a letter in, you can send it to readmedelta@gmail.com. Questions about anything. Could be about hats, vintage hats. It could be about driving vans. It could be about why there is Torani syrup here, but it's not
sugar. I was going to ask
But why
you,
is it not sugar-free?
Why is also, are these our sponsors? Because I love Voss water.
Well, I'll tell you why. I've come to the conclusion. My producer, Mark, puts the Voss water out. It is beautiful, but I also think maybe it's my plea to Voss Entertainment to put me to work. Please, I beg of you. Can't
you
do
work,
something?
Do you want
to
work the world?
I don't know if I can do the whole world, but I mean, there's got to be somebody out there. I've been telling people for a while now. I'm like, isn't there somebody that wants to go? I feel like everyone's sharing my fucking, like, they share the podcast. I want to come do the podcast with
live
you.
Live somewhere. Yeah. I'm down. Let's get that Sprinter van and go.
I actually got to do... a gig. I had so much fun. It was in Seattle.
That's right.
At the Queer Bar. And you messaged me. You messaged me and you said, Queer Bar will be reaching out to you. And I had a blast. If you ever are in Seattle and you get to go to the Queer Bar, so much fun. And it wasn't even very Delta Live, but I was there with the whole cast of entertainers. And we did this little thing called the Shit Talk series.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a mini... Very Delta Live.
Yeah.
I would love to go back to Seattle and do that again. But it was a blast. So
the Queer Bar is my home in Seattle, and they really are amazing. And when I was there 2 weeks before you were coming, everyone was literally talking how excited they were that you were coming.
So
and
sweet.
That's when I texted you and was like, everyone in Seattle is ready for you. So excited.
They came
so I'm
all
glad.
The way out. Jane Don't was there. She was the host. And she had her own little, like, it was kind of like her thing. And I was her guest at, like, talking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. A blast.
I love it.
Are you originally from Seattle?
I am. I'm from Seattle. I grew up in a little city called Lynnwood.
Uh-huh.
And I went to high school there. And right after high school, I moved to New York City.
What's the difference between the people in Seattle, the people in New York, the people in LA? What's the vibe difference?
Seattle is very chill. Mm-hmm. New York is very goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle is also very outdoorsy. And then LA is very like, I'm going to be famous.
I mean, it does hit the nail on the head.
It does. It's funny that I know you're about to read this, but it's funny because when I moved here in 2007, I jokingly said when I got to my apartment in Hollywood, I was like, Angina's going to be famous. And then 6 months later, I got booked for Drag Race.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
Anyway, I regret it.
You don't regret shit. Dear Delta, I read in the newspaper that Mom partnered with Straits because that's business. My question, is it forever dog or forever dong? Do you like dongs? Love you, Andrew G. from New York City. My question, is it forever dog or forever dong? Well, I don't know why. I don't know. I try to stay out of men's business. I don't know why there was a mom as part of Forever Dog. It works.
It does work.
This space, there's like, I tell people, like, this building, there's so many different podcasts happening at any given time that one of our I'll say higher ups was walking down the hall and saw me just walking down in cargo shorts, a dress, a pumpkin on my head, and Brett just looks at me and goes, good morning. It just doesn't dawn on people, because in any given time you could see Meatball eating hot wings with like a beautiful wig on and like, you know, lashes this big. Then you could see a band playing in here.
Yeah.
People are moving desks in and out. Like, I don't know, but it just seems to work. Like, mom and forever dog, it works.
Listen, sometimes a partnership with the straights is okay.
You know, we're talking about dads, like new dads.
Daddies?
Yeah, like new dads with wives who come here. Oh, nice. And like, and they, we're lucky. You know what I mean? We're really lucky.
Yeah.
I don't know about their dongs, but I'm curious.
Yeah, and maybe it's a forever secret.
Yeah. I am curious about dongs and dad dongs, you know? And we could find out more about that. But you know what, Andrew G. from NYC, I don't know if you're a native New Yorker, but I bet you know about, are dongs different in New York than they are in LA?
I think dongs is pretty much similar to every city.
But they're very natural in Seattle.
But they're...
You're very natural, I think.
And the ones in LA just want to be famous.
They just want to be famous. They're going to lie about it on Instagram.
They are.
Okay, the next letter. By the way, when I was in Seattle, I was like, I feel obligated to wear a North Face jacket.
No,
like,
did you? Did you buy one?
I had at home. One time I was at the airport. You know, I'm one of those people at the airport where I have no budget.
Oh my God, yeah.
Whatever's in the airport, if it's for sale, I'm buying it.
Okay, speaking of which, how many neck pillows do you have?
Too many. Well, I have ones that have dancing avocados on them. I have ones that are plaid.
I say this because every time I'm at the airport, I'm at the airport a lot. You know, I love to travel, work or pleasure. Like 80% of the time, I will forget my neck pillow.
Yeah.
So I was cleaning my room the other day.
Oh, no.
And I have 11.
Stop it.
Who needs 11 neck pillows?
Stop it.
11.
You should have a sale.
I should have a sale.
You should have a sale. It's got
Angina sweat on it. Yeah. It's worth a lot of money.
What do you think the most is that you've paid for a neck pillow?
Oh, they're like $30.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever.
Are they all from the airport, or are you ever stuck at like TJ Maxx?
No, all at the airport.
All at the airport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a snack that you like to get at the airport at the Hudson News?
Doritos, nacho cheese,
nacho cheese.
A Diet Coke. Yeah. We share that love.
Yeah, we do.
Coke. Yeah,
I like that. Next letter. Dear Delta and sensual guest.
Sensual.
Have you ever hooked up with a crazy gym and juice muscle guy and thought to yourself, this body is fucking weird and looks better than it feels? Like it's giving Naugahyde couch and you sort of want to poke it with a finger, but not look up at but not hook up with it. Just super overdone, like a vacuum sealed bag of clothes. I don't know. Very Lanny. Have you ever hooked up with somebody that
Lanny.
Was
Lanny?
You thought the body looked good, but you were like, ew.
So before I was married, I was a hoe.
Once upon a time, not long ago.
I was a hoe. And I was okay, so and like I said, my adulthood all happened in New York City, and it was full of parties, and it was full of many different people. And I do remember.
I'm listening.
Sometimes I can be TMI, but I don't want the producer to say, you know, just get right into it.
No.
And then you'd have to tell them you're not the editor. But okay, so.
You can say whatever you want. This is your space.
Okay, there was this man that I used to hook up with back in like 2000 and I don't know, 5.
Okay.
And he was like a firefighter.
Uh-huh.
And he was built like a Roman like god.
Uh-huh.
But he was the Nelliest bottom.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. And did you, like, did you call him Bambi or, like,
But he definitely liked, like, being the submissive person.
Sure.
And I sometimes like to feel out my top fantasy.
Yeah.
And during that time when you know, when I was younger, I was single, I was living in New York City, like, I was very free of my sexuality. I'll just, like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I remember him being, like, literally every inch of him was, like, so perfect, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, so manufactured
mm-hmm.
that it almost seemed like it wasn't, like, correct that I was the one who was, like, being dominant.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
This is a weird theme that's running through, but it makes sense. Again, those optics. When people look at a certain thing, they think, oh, this is what a bottom looks like. This is what a top looks like. This is who you're supposed to be with. And I that's so interesting. Even this isn't the same thing, but I'm sure you've seen it. Partners that look exactly like one another.
Oh, when there's like a TikTok where it says brothers or partners or something like that.
Twin boyfriend. Oh, I just spit on you.
God damn it.
You're blessed.
Twins or partners or brothers or siblings or whatever. Yeah, I've seen those. And they even have ones like where it's like a hetero relationship.
Uh-huh.
When it's like a girl and a boy and they literally like, sometimes you can't tell. They're like, I think they're brothers and sisters. And then they start making out and they're like, oh my God, they're fucking.
Right. And they are brother and sister.
Yeah. And they're
gross.
But have you like before you were like.
Before I was an old married woman.
Yes.
We are old married women.
We are old married women.
Right. I think I have been with many, many body types. Definitely. You know, there was a time like when we were all peanuts girls, like, mm-hmm. you know, working at 7969, and we would all feel the fantasy of like showing up in drag and leaving in drag and going to the restaurant in drag and the chasers, you know, we don't say that word anymore, but at the time that we would say tranny chaser,
mm-hmm.
they would come to the bar and they had their pickings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like there they was do.
What does Lil Kim say? Chicks by the layers, all different flavors. And it always would surprise people because they would go, oh, you know, this hot guy over here. And they're like, he's going with her?
Yeah.
Why her?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, because they have a certain, at that time, a certain type of femininity that they liked, right?
Yes.
And so they might say like, oh no, I like an athletic girl.
Yes.
Or, ooh, I like a big, fluffy girl.
Yes.
Or,
and I think for them too, obviously this is like a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fantasy being fulfilled. And so if they've already been fulfilled by a bald Asian,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to want a headpiece lady.
They want pumpkin lady.
Yeah, they want pumpkin lady next. You know what I mean? So it's like checking the boxes of like, okay,
but
I had pumpkin
true.
Lady, I had bald Asian, and then mm-hmm. now maybe I'm gonna, you know, maybe I'll get another. But
right.
at the time before, you know, before everything is called out on social media, at the time these were like taboo moments.
Right.
But they were like, but you can make them. They're taboo, but you can make them still fun and special.
Right.
Right? And now it's like, danger, danger. And it's like, yeah, that's true. There's probably danger that's mm-hmm. surrounded, like, even, like, the experiences from years ago. But at the same time, like, it's different time. And, you know, you're feeling out, you're, like, your fantasies and stuff, which I think people seem to forget that, like, it's okay to be, you know, adventurous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust.
Yeah. Wanderlust.
I'm learning so much English words today.
Stop it. thank you for being here.
This, oh my God.
This blew by. I say that every interview
I
do.
Wait, is it over?
This is it, girl.
Girl, part
girl.
Two.
This is it. This is where we are.
Part two.
Where are you on social media? Like, where can people find you?
So you can find me on all of my social media under Angina.
Oh,
my Venmo is also Angina. And my Cash App is also Angina.
Venmo.
But yeah, it's all Angina. Instagram is probably the one that I use the most.
Same.
And And yeah, you'll find all of my adventures there, including I've been producing some things, mm-hmm. and I have a monthly dance party at the Virgil.
Uh-huh.
It's called Persuasion.
Uh-huh.
And it's a cool place for queer Asians and our friends, allies, and families, and partners, and lovers. So that's once a month at the last Friday of every month. Mm-hmm. But I also have a new one at the Chapel.
Okay.
And that's top 40s, get your dance on, get your groove on. And it's also a win for queer Asians. And it's called Boba.
Uh-huh.
A new dance party with a taste of Asian excellence. Because everybody loves boba, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's every Thursday starting in December.
And do you use, like, can I go there and have this, like, a straw like this?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if actually this is big enough for boba, but maybe, like, mini bobas.
Do you pretend to smoke with a straw like this?
You know what? Back in the day, yes. But I'm not that.
Not anymore.
Davoon.
Davoon. Thank you all for listening. I'm watching Very Delta. We come out every Monday. Please subscribe to Mom Podcast right here on the Mom Podcast YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode. And search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps and subscribe to Mom Plus for even more Very Delta. You can send all your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com and you can follow me on Instagram @DeltaWork. You can also follow the show on Instagram and TikTok @VeryDelta because if you're not, you're only getting half the Delta. Join me next week right here. And until then, make sure you keep things Very Delta.
This episode of Very Delta was brought to you by Orange Diamond, the official emoji of the Very Delta show. Theme from Delta Works. Very Delta by the Will Pitts Orchestra.
Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work and produced by Mark Jacobs. Engineered by Margot Padilla and editing by Doug Robertson. Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.